This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Good evening and welcome to Joy 94.9. This is Well, Well, Well with Jason and Tex tonight from the Health Promotion Program at the Victorian AIDS Council, Gay Men's Health Centre. Thanks as always to Doug and the Rainbow Report team for another great show. Good evening, Jason. It has been so long since we have been on air together. How are you tonight?
I'm well. I'm glad you mentioned that because I was starting to feel like I couldn't trust my memory. Is this the first one we've had on air together since you've been back from holidays?
Yes, because last week was the first week, and that was with the gorgeous Adam.
Well, it's good to have you back.
Thanks, Jason.
And I'm sure the listener will be very excited to hear the music from Well, Well, Well go back in time as well, now that you're back. So stay tuned.
Sorry, what was that?
Oh, nothing.
You said the listener will be happy.
Because the repertoire of music here on Well, Well, Well will probably have a few more classics.
Jason, I'll just let you and the listener know that I've actually went out shopping.
For?
For new music. New music for me.
Yes, exactly.
Right. One of the CDs is from 1975. The other is from 1999. So it's actually relatively recent.
Oh, but still.
For as far as I go, Jason, anyway.
This is true. All right, I'll give you that. But we're not here to talk about how the music is going to go back in time. Mm-hmm. We're here to talk about other things. What are we going to be talking about on the show tonight?
I'm so pleased that you have asked me that question, Jason. Tonight on the show, we're going to be chatting with our colleague, Heather Muir, about police checks. What does that entail? Well, we will find out tonight. Soon we're going to have a few little news as items, a few little snippets of news that we usually do at the end of the show. But at the end of the show tonight, we're actually going to be chatting with Rachel Berger about the forthcoming International AIDS Candlelight Vigil or Memorial. Oh dear, I said the naughty word, the V word. Now, Jason, you know that we love to hear from our listener. How can the listener get in contact with us tonight?
Oh, there's so many ways, Tex. Telephone in and speak to a real-life person, you can call 1-300-JOY-949 and speak to Robbie. Mm-hmm. Or if you want to communicate with us directly in studio, you can send an email to onair@joy.org.au or SMS 0427-JOY-949. And if you feel like you may get in touch with us between shows, just follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/wellwellwelljoy.
Indeed. And Jason, I noticed when I was back in the office that we have 114 people on Facebook who like us.
I know. We've come a long way.
Which, remember when it was 2 or 3?
I do. Indeed. And that the 2 and 3 were you, me, and Adam.
Indeed. And boy, have we gone a long way since then. We are going to hear a delightful piece of music. This is from the CD from 1999. It's a very old song by a man who I guess is getting on, because when I was a teenager, I was in love with him and he was in his, probably 25 or 30. So he must be ancient now. His name's Brian Ferry. But you know what? He's still gorgeous. And this is him. With The Way, it could be dedicated to you, Jason, The Way You Look Tonight. Never, never change. Keep that breathless charm. Won't you please arrange it? 'Cause I love you just the way you look tonight. Oh, indeed. Thank you, KD Lang. It's always lovely to hear your dulcet tones here on Joy 94.9. She sings a good song as well, Jason.
Just 1 or 2, I think. And now, she happens to be from an amazing country. So.
Oh, yeah, from Canada. Yeah. that, of course, was Brian Ferry, recorded in 1999, but a very old song back from the 30s, I think we said it probably was. The Way You Look tonight.
Clearly trying to balance out the fact that the music that Adam and I have been playing while you were away was from the past decade, but...
Yeah, yeah, indeed. I actually listened quite a lot and heard some of the lovely tunes that you'd played.
You're being sarcastic. We're moving on.
Indeed, we'll move on. It's time for that part of the show where we have, we change the focus a little bit and we have a few snippets of information. Now, those snippets of information are written down on pieces of paper, so we shuffle the papers. And that shuffling lets you know that we are ready to talk about something new.
Game on.
Now, Jason, first off tonight, I thought we'd have a look at positive outlook. Now, this is something which you've talked about on... I don't think I've talked about it on the show, but it's been talked about and it's been in phases of recruitment and now they're looking. I think it's for the last 15 people.
Yeah, so we, Adam and I had Tanya, who is the main contact for this pilot, I guess you would call it. Mm-hmm. And it's Positive Outlook is an online group intervention for men living with HIV. And participants log on to the program and complete modules, activities, and can contribute to a range of discussions through some notice boards. And it's all supported by a weekly live chat once a week. So it's a study that's done through Monash University in collaboration with the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre and the Alfred Hospital. And it's had fantastic feedback during the first two or three phases of recruitment, where, you know, people have said that they've really appreciated being able to talk openly and rationally with other positive people, and not have to hide the fact that they were HIV positive. They were able to you know, learn some skills to correct some of the negativity that they felt that they experienced, and, you know, they found that really helpful. And, you know, there's some really positive outcomes that they felt that they had as a result of, you know, that live chat element, where, you know, it's a little bit of an opportunity to build relationships with other people in similar situations. So they are recruiting the last batch of participants. They are looking for men who identify as being gay or bisexual, are over the age of 18, and have been diagnosed with HIV.
Yeah.
So if you want to find out more, you can have a look at their website, and it's easy to remember. Just look for Positive Outlook. You can go to positiveoutlook.org.au, and you can get the contact details for Tanya there.
Yeah, and look, Positive Outlook is just Positive Outlook as one word. Positiveoutlook.org.au. Sensational, Jason.
It is. It was actually really, really interesting to have Tanya on the show a while ago to talk about the study, because it's a really innovative way to provide some support for people living with HIV.
Oh, look, the next thing we're going to talk about is sex positive.
What is it?
It's a positive approach to dealing with hepatitis C and HIV. So that's hepatitis C and HIV co-infection, people who are in living with hepatitis C and HIV at the same time. Sex positive, it's a panel of people living with both HIV and hepatitis C, as well as an epidemiologist, Carol L. Hayek.
El Hayek.
I knew I'd say that one wrong.
That's what I'm here for, Tex.
And infectious diseases specialist, Dr. Joe...
Sassadeus.
Thank you. they're going to be on hand to answer people's questions. Questions can also be submitted via email or even texted during the event. Now, they're going to provide coffee, tea, juice, food's going to be provided, and it's all happening on the 15th of May. Now, that's...
Next week.
Indeed.
We don't need to figure out what day. So it is happening next week. But
it's at night. It starts at 6:15 and it finishes at... the doors open at 6:15 for a 7 o'clock start exactly at 7 o'clock. It's happening on Level 4, Room B, 427 Flinders Lane, Melbourne.
It's the CAE building.
Sorry?
It's the CAE building, if anyone's aware of that.
CAE building, indeed. If you'd like more information, you can contact Living Positive Victoria. I nearly said it wrong. Living Positive Victoria, and the telephone number, which seems to have disappeared. I did have it a while ago. Oh, it's 9863 8744. 9863 8744. So that's the Sex Positive panel, presented by Living Positive Victoria and the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre and the Down and Dirty website.
Yeah, which is the website particularly for sexually adventurous men.
Now, this is well. When we've heard these lovely brief messages, we'll be back with our special guest this evening, Heather Muir from the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre. This is Well on Joy 94.9. This is Well here on Joy 94.9. And if you've just joined us, we're about to chat with our special guest this evening. Joining Jason and I this evening in the studio is our colleague from the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre, Heather Muir. Heather, good evening and welcome to Well here on Joy 94.9.
Thanks, Tex. Thank you, Jason.
Heather, to start off our conversation, perhaps you can tell us a little bit about yourself and where you've worked prior to working at the AIDS Council.
Okay. I guess I've worked in a variety of organisations over the last, I guess, couple of decades, mostly larger corporates. Like, I've worked with AAMI. And I've also worked for Unisys, and more recently I worked for PageUp People, IT Consulting, always in a human resources capacity.
Ah, right. Yep.
Now, I do believe that you've also had a little bit of dabble in radio as well, so this is a bit of a throwback.
Indeed, indeed. It was really quite nice to be invited to the show, because this takes me back to, I think, one of my first jobs when I was about 17. I too am from Canada, if you haven't picked that up.
It's true what they say, we're taking over.
And I worked at a radio station. It was a community radio station. It was a multicultural community radio station, CJMR, CHWO, and I was an operator. And for 1 hour every Sunday, I got to spin 33% Canadian content and whatever else I wanted on Mississauga Afternoon. Heather Muir coming at you.
Oh, so you got to speak as well.
I did, occasionally.
Oh, fantastic. Well, that's great. Well, maybe we have a new member of the team to induct Jason.
Who fantastic.
Knows? Oh, don't encourage me.
Okay. Now, Heather, you're employed at the Victorian AIDS Council as the Manager of Human Resources. You just mentioned human resources before. Some people know it as HR. For our listener, what is human resources all about? And I suppose, what does your role at the AIDS Council involve?
Okay. Well, depending on the type of organization and the size of organization, there's many different facets of HR. For example, in large organizations, they have generalists and specialists. For example, at AAMI, I was a specialist in employment solutions, and the same at Unisys. So basically, that was my area of expertise. I also worked there as information technology specialist. So that's one facet. In VAC, however, I'm a generalist. I'm hands-on, operational, and I also, I guess, work on strategy for the organization as well, with regards to, the interests of both the organization and the people.
Now, I guess with an organization like the Victorian AIDS Council, which relies on a range of different types of people to do the work, that would present quite a different approach than working in corporate.
Actually, not so different as you would expect. I mean, yeah, the jobs are different, but the needs of the people are the same. I mean, if you think about, I guess, my role at VAC, it's pretty much working with people from, I guess, attraction to selection, recruitment, training, working on policies, working on, performance feedback, and then eventually, I guess, exit. So again, it's a similar role, just, you know, different people.
Now, I guess you talked it through there about, does that involve interviewing new staff?
Yes.
So you talked about selection and stuff, but does that actually involve the interview as well?
Often I'm invited to help out with interviews and help with, I guess formatting the recruitment. In fact, Jason and I have worked together, last year and this year.
A couple of times
now. Yeah, yeah. And I guess my philosophy on, working with people, Tex, is I like to, when they come, to me for, advice or information, I like to give them as much information as possible, give them, training, if you will, and coaching, and then off you go. And if they want my help to continue with the exercise, then I'm there for them.
Now, Heather, our next track has been chosen by you. Can you share with our listener why you've chosen this particular track, or perhaps what it means to you?
Patrick Hernandez, Born to Be Alive. It's a bit of a, it's a party anthem at our house. And it's one of those songs when you put it on, no matter where it is, people just start moving. It's it's a great way to, I guess, get a dinner party going. And it's also a great way to pick it up a notch or two.
Mm. Well, Heather's selection, Patrick Hernandez, Born to Be Alive. Jason, you'd be able to provide a translation of what that was?
Sorry?
We just had something in French.
Just because I speak French? What do you think she said, Tex?
I think she said you're listening to Joy or some nonsense.
Exactly, vous écoutez Joy, 94.9. You're listening Tina Arena.
Oh, Tina Arena, the gorgeous Tina Arena. That, of course, was Patrick Hernandez, Born to Be Alive, the song that gets Heather's household up and jumping.
I'd have to agree.
True story. Mm.
If you've just joined us, we're chatting with Heather Muir, the Human Resources Manager at the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre. Now, Heather, recently the Victorian AIDS Council sent out a letter and an email to volunteers, or people who volunteer with the organisation, alerting them about the need for all volunteers to undergo a police check. Now, can you share with us and the listener a little about why police checks are required? I mean, for example, some of our volunteers have been with the organisation for several years.
Mm-hmm. Good question. Mm-hmm. So, to frame it, it's not just for volunteers. It is a whole of organisation policy. Okay. And what that means is it's, for new employees, it's a condition of employment. And for volunteers, I guess whether you've been volunteering for years or you just signed up, it's mm-hmm. now a condition of volunteering. It's not a new idea. It's been on the table for several years. And we've just been, I suppose, talking around it. And we finally now have the team that's putting it into place and driving it forward. We could fall back on that. Look, it's a requirement of funding from DOH, which it mm-hmm. is. I mean, they're pretty clear on their website about what they require of their funded organizations with regards to police checks and working with children checks. However, regardless of that, it's good operating practice because we've got a duty of care, thinking about what we do, to ensure that our community and our clients are cared for to the best of our ability. And, you know, running the police checks, it's just the right thing to do. It's not unique for VAC. In fact, I think you'll find we're unique that we actually haven't implemented it.
Hmm. Now, you said that it's not just about volunteers. Mm-hmm. So how does that play out for the staff?
Okay, well, new employees to VAC, they will have to undergo a police check. In fact, that's been in the letters of offer, I think, dating back to August, around that time. And we've had our first couple of police checks go through, mm-hmm. tick, tick. Other people who will have police checks in the organization, for example, myself, I had my police check done the other day. It took 15 seconds.
Mm.
Thank you very much.
Impressive.
I've had my police check done. It took about 20 seconds, but probably not as quick as you, Heather.
Oh, well. And I come from Canada, born overseas and all. I've just been here too long, Tex, clearly.
Indeed. True.
The other people who will be having the police checks done are people who, have access to sensitive data. For example, our IT administrator, he's had his police check done. Payroll, because they will be entering the information on the employees who've had their police checks done. Executive Administrator Extraordinaire, Rowena Du, she's really driving this program, so she's had her police check done. She'll be administering as well. And, of course, most importantly, the volunteer team leaders, because we've organized for, the tests, rather than just coming to one central point within VAC, for the volunteer team leaders to basically run the police checks for their people.
So, for example, I coordinate the outreach volunteers. I have a team of about 30 guys who do outreach. So they'll be coming to me and I'll be checking off their record and submitting their form
that
the police check goes through. But it's really quick.
It is. It's quick and it's very easy as well. I mean, I'm probably jumping the gun a little bit, but it's only, I guess, 2 or 3 pages of information. It's tick the box, show the ID. And away we go.
Now, you mentioned before that it's quite often standard practice as well for working with children checks.
Yes.
Is it likely that some volunteers and staff will have to go through those checks in addition?
Yeah. What we've done is in a meeting we had last year, we, I suppose, did a bit of a survey around the volunteer reference groups about the type of checks that we would want the volunteers, I guess, working with our specific client groups to have. And working with children checks did come up for people who are going to be doing driving. And that's pretty much the only place it came up. That's my memory of it. Tex?
Oh, yeah. Occasionally, some volunteers will work in the homes of clients.
Yeah.
So some of those clients may have children or may have children visiting.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, again, there will be the occasion where we do need a working with children check. But, again, that's a separate check. And that's exclusive to the police check. They're different databases.
Yeah. Well, we are going to continue our conversation, but first we need to hear some important messages. As the President says, we need to pay some bills. This is Well, here on Joy 94.9. Oh, indeed, it is Joy 94.9, and you're listening to Well with Jason and Tex. And joining us tonight is our special guest, Heather Muir, the HR Manager at the Victorian AIDS Council, and we're talking about police checks. Now, Heather, to continue our chat about police checks, can you take us through the process, like what's required of people undertaking or undergoing a check?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, first of all, for our volunteers, as we already mentioned, it would be a matter of coming in and having a chat with your volunteer team leader.
Mm-hmm.
You would bring, I guess, 100 points of identification. That's a passport, driver's license, credit cards, etc. There's information that the team leaders will be able to give you on what you need to bring in.
Yep.
You bring your ID in. It's cited. You sign the forms in front of your team leader. They data enter your information. And from that moment on, it becomes, I guess, depersonalized in so much as you are no longer Fred Smith. You become a number. And so, again, that basically adds to the security and the, I guess, the privacy of the whole, I guess, police process. It's you're not named. You have a specific number attached to your application.
Okay.
Does
now,
that make sense?
Yep. Look, it makes perfect sense. Now, so that means the volunteers, for example, don't have to front up at their local police station for the check.
That's right.
So they'll come into one of our sites.
That's right. That's right.
How long does it take? Now, we have sort of given an idea, but some people have spoken to me and said, oh, my God, it's going to take 10 minutes. It's going to take an hour. What's the lead time, I guess, or the time it takes?
If you fill out the paperwork and show your ID, it really should take no more than 5 minutes. Again, and then it's I guess, the data entry of your information reaching the database. It can take as fast as we both said, a matter of seconds.
Now, I must say that I filled in the form and I got it right. There were no mistakes when Rowena went through mine, and I had my pieces of identification, and yes, she just ticked them off. The ones that I presented, like for example, I did a passport and a couple of bills and things, but there were other forms that made up the getting you to 140 points or something.
Did you get to 140? I think I only got to 115. But oh, you need 100 points.
You need
of
100
ID.
Points. Yeah.
It's not unlike tax to overachieve.
Yes, indeed. You just need to supply your address, I suppose, email address, place of work. I don't even think they ask for a place of work. Sorry.
No.
So just some basic information.
Now, I mentioned before about the process being one that that is fairly private. Who do we use to do the checks? Is it something that's affiliated with Victoria Police or what's the relationship?
Okay, we use an organization called CrimCheck. And they are affiliated with the Monash, let me see, Resource Center, I believe. Yeah, Monash Resource Center. They are set up specifically to run not-for-profit police checks. They do about 33,000 a year. And I guess, given our concern for privacy and our, you know, how I suppose religiously we protect, I guess, our communities, our clients' privacy, it was very important that we worked with an organization that had to have rigorous standards. Mm-hmm. And CrimCheck certainly seems to represent that they have great standards.
That's great. And we actually have received a few messages in as well. And so for the listeners that are waiting for us to address those questions, we're gonna get back to those in the next segment.
Mm-hmm. Yep, we're just about to play another brief track. This one, again, is from Brian Ferry, but this one was recorded back in 1975. And this is the time when I was really hot for him. He wore a lot of leather. I think it was a foretaste of things to come. Mm-hmm. This is Brian Ferry, and it's not your party, Jason. It's my party.
Nobody knows where my Johnny has gone, but Judy left the same time. Why was he holding her hand when he's supposed to be mine? It's my party and I cry if I...
This is a well on Joy 94.9, and that was the immortal Brian Ferry. With It's My Party, recorded way back in 1975, I think when I was in year 7, 8, 9, a long time ago. If you've just joined us, we're chatting with Heather Muir, the Human Resources Manager at the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre, and we're talking about police checks.
Now, we have had a message come in, and someone was asking, what exactly prints on a police check? Mm-hmm. And he put forward an example about him being charged with something more than 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And was advised by legal aid to just plead guilty because it would be less costly and was likely to only have a good behavior bond placed on him. He did this, and in court it was stated no conviction would be recorded. He said that when he applied for working with children, though, it did come up. So now he's kind of dubious about any position where they say applicants need a police check. Mm-hmm. How would you respond to that?
Okay, first of all, the working with children check is entirely very separate, an entirely separate check to the police check.
Yeah.
What I have been told, and I've been told this not only by CrimCheck, but also Vic Police when we were actually exploring using them as an option before we went with CrimCheck, that if you've had a record and it's greater than 10 years old, it's scrubbed.
Yeah.
Okay. What might happen is, for example, because we work with, I suppose, a community that has people going into their houses, and you know, we need to be very mindful of, yep, I suppose, past convictions. What might happen is if a past conviction comes up on someone's record that registers with the checkers, as it might actually conflict with the job that that person wants to do for us as a volunteer, it might come up as an adverse disclosure.
Yeah.
So
that actually kind of leads well into my next question, which is what happens if something does come up as a result of something being in their police check?
Right.
Is it an automatic... No, or is
no.
there is there room for...
No, no. And again, like with... Okay, if we look at volunteer recruitment, it's just the same as employment recruitment. What the police check does is it gives us a snapshot. It gives us a little bit of information. We don't need to base our entire decision on information that comes out of a police check, okay? So we're not going to get bent out of shape, for example, if, and I use this example and I've used it for 10 years, if, for example, somebody had a joint on their possession and, you know, 8 years ago and that comes up, I think we'll basically take that on board. However, if somebody's cooking meth in their bathtub and has been charged with trafficking and has served time for it, we have a problem with that. Mm-hmm. So again, it really does depend. It's horses for courses. Mm. And you just can't put a blanket no across this. Also, if I can say this quickly, what happens is if it comes up as, we have two, two flags. One comes up as clear, the other comes up as adverse. If it comes up as adverse, what happens is the team leader gets that message and they forward that information directly to me. I then open it up and I contact the volunteer and I ask if there's anything they'd like to disclose. If something's happened, for example, a mistype or some, they've been confused with someone else because common names, and that does happen, they have the chance to take that up with CrimCheck and rerun it again. So there is a process. It's not game over.
It's not cut and dry.
No, and we would always reach out and talk to the volunteer.
Now, Heather, how long does the check last? Is it for, you know, I have it done now and it's valid forever? Or is there a specific time?
Good question. It's, again, it's a snapshot. So we are looking at evaluating, running them between 2 and 3 years. We haven't quite worked out our policy on that, but it will be 2 and 3 years. That seems to be best practice. Also, what we've had is we've had people call up who've already run police checks, and they've offered their police checks. They've said, hey, I'm a nurse. I've got a working with children and a police check. Can you use them? For the working with children, that has an expiry date on it. So, yes, absolutely, put it forward. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. If it's a police check that's been done in the last 6 months, absolutely we'll use it. Happy to.
Mm-hmm. So it kind of seems to indicate that it is quite common practice.
Oh, absolutely, Jason. Yes, it is standard operating procedure.
Heather, if anyone listening is currently a volunteer or perhaps they're a potential volunteer for the organisation, they have questions about this process, is there a contact point or a contact person they can make contact with?
Yes, absolutely. Of course, you can always talk to me. I'm at Victorian Aids Council Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I'm happy to take calls from you. Also, your team leaders, they're going to be as probably informed as I am. If not, they will be soon. again, Rowena Du is a very, I guess she's very up to date as well on all of the police check procedures.
Okay, the telephone number 9865 6700. 9865 6700. Of course, you can check out on our Facebook page and we'll have details about how you can get in contact with us. Heather, it's been a real pleasure to have you in for a chat. It's been great to welcome you back to a radio studio after all these years.
Do I have to leave?
Well, you can hang around until 9. But look, we look forward to hearing from you again, perhaps on police checks, perhaps on other stuff as well. It's been really interesting. Thanks for a really good interview.
Thank you for inviting me, guys.
This is a Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. This is a Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and joining Jason and I on the telephone is the one and only, she is a life member of the Victorian AIDS Council Grey Men's Health Centre and a continuing community icon. Her name is Rachel Berger. Good evening, Rachel, and welcome back to Well, Well, Well.
I am so thrilled. Hello! I'm so thrilled to be on air with you both. How fabulous. I'm excited.
Well, Rachel, we are excited to have you on air with us.
I know, but I very rarely get excited these days, Tech, so it's a big thing.
Oh, right. Well, Rachel, Rachel, my dear, coming up at 5 p.m. on Monday, the 20th of May, something big is happening in Sturt Street in South Bank, and it's going to have lots of candles. Now, I'm guessing it's not your birthday, so can you please share with our listener a little bit about this event?
It's the 30th International AIDS Candlelight Memorial Ceremony, which, as you would know, is coordinated worldwide by the whole global network of people living with HIV. But in Melbourne, it's at the forecourt of the Australian Centre for Contemporary Art, and it's at 5 o'clock, as you said, on Monday the 20th, and we'd like everybody to come.
Now, Rachel, Jason here. Could you tell us...
Hello, Jason.
Hello. I'm loving the high energy this evening.
Oh, well, I have to be because, you know, I'm there with you two. If I don't have enough energy, then I'll just seem like a flat hanky or something, you know.
You've got me blushing. But...
okay. Oh, good.
What role do you have at the...
Too, but I think it's hormones.
Oh. Do you have a particular role at the Candlelight Memorial?
I am the MC,
which is a
privilege, but I have been the MC at many events for around I don't know. Tex probably remembers better than I do. More than 20 years.
Oh,
now.
It's more than 20 years, sure.
It's more than 20. Well, don't say it too much because I'm older than I am. Can you just hold back? I think it is more than 20 years. I've been an MC on many occasions. Each time is a privilege, and each time it's different. But I have been asked to be the MC at this event, and it's going to be huge. I mean, I didn't actually realise that the memorial sort of unites around 1,200 communities in events across 115 countries to bring the whole community together. So it doesn't always happen on this particular day, but in Melbourne it's happening on the 20th of May.
Yeah, I believe in most places around the world it's happening on the 19th, the day before, but it just for scheduling reasons, it just makes it easier to happen on the 20th here in Melbourne.
Well, ours is going to be bigger and better, so we just let everybody do theirs first.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, they can go to theirs and come to ours.
Exactly right.
Now,
exactly.
Rachel, do you know what the theme is of this year's memorial?
In solidarity.
Oh.
Which I think is fabulous because, it sort of reflects the need for people living with and affected by HIV to come together and sort of work together in the response to HIV. So it's really, it's solidarity in communities, across the board, I think, because it's only when you have that solidarity, I think, that you reduce stigma and make people aware that you can't have an us and them. So the theme is in solidarity, which I think is a very good one.
And I think it's fantastic for an event like that as well, where everyone is coming together.
Well, that's exactly right. You've got all sorts of people coming together from all different parts of the community, of different ages, and they're all, this way, we're all kind of meeting the challenges of HIV, particularly HIV stigma, together, and discrimination as mm-hmm. well.
Now, are there any guest speakers at the event in addition to yourself?
Yes, there are Deanna Blegg and Jai Wallace, who is himself an Enough ambassador, the fabulous Olympian. So they're great speakers. They're from the Speakers Bureau at Positive Living Victoria. And I know there will be some other VIPs, but I don't know who they are. But anyway, everybody who's there is going to be important, both speaking and not speaking, because I think just to show up is a sign of solidarity.
Indeed. Now, Rachel, we've chatted about the Enough campaign and the website here on Well Well Whale on many occasions, and I believe that Jai Wallace, who you just mentioned, the Olympian and Enough ambassador, is going to be conferring something on you. Now, what's that going to be?
How did you find that out? What, it's like my CSI Miami or something?
Oh, I have no ways and means, Rachel.
You know everything, don't you? I'm going to be inducted as an ambassador. So I'm going to become formally an ambassador in May at this event as an Enough ambassador. But I don't think I'm getting a sash.
That's what I was thinking. Are you going to be sashed?
I'd love to be sashed, but I don't think they do sashes. And a tiara. But no, I don't need to be sashed. But
nothing's holding you back from making your own sash and bringing your own tiara.
Well, you're absolutely right.
Come prepared.
I should, shouldn't I? I should get my own sash. In fact, I may. I may get a little tiara made of flowers, fresh flowers.
Oh, lovely.
Yes, natural.
What does becoming an Enough ambassador mean to you? You've been a long-time supporter of people living with HIV. What does this mean?
What it means to me, first of all, thankfully, nobody's sick of me talking about this. and the people who decided to do this obviously think that my talking about this issue works, and that's important for me. For me personally, it's always been a privilege from day one, and it still is an honour and a privilege to be able to be a supporter and to speak on behalf of this community, which has really enriched my life in so many ways. But I think also it's an acknowledgement. I mean, I'm not really someone who, just in the broader community may have as big a profile as, let's say, someone who's an Olympian. But I think what I do have is the ability to make people laugh. And at this time, particularly with the issues of stigma and discrimination, we don't have a lot of control over that, really. We don't have a lot of control over the arms race or anything very much, or our environment. Well, the only thing we have control of is of our inner world. And I think that I'm able to access people's inner world because I can talk about things that other people turn away from and make them laugh. And so in a way, I use my energy to refuse that darkness that is created when there's discrimination. And laughter makes you lightheaded, but it also brings light. And it's intoxicating, and it works. And that's what I can do best. I can get people to listen because they're laughing. And so the opportunity to do that, to discuss a subject which is so vitally important and that people are still, you know, suffering immensely because of idiot behaviour and discrimination, is that's what it means to me, I guess. It's an opportunity to, you know, I don't know if it'll make a difference, but it'll make people stop for a minute and listen if they're laughing.
Rachel, what are the essential details, you know, the when, where, what, etc.?
It's at the forecourt of the Australian Contemporary Centre for the Arts, or for Arts, I think it's ACCA, A-C-C-A. It's in Sturt Street. It's at 5 o'clock on the 20th of May, so that's Monday week.
Mm-hmm. Rachel,
and anybody can come and light candles and it'll be fantastic.
Rachel, it's been short and sweet. Thank you for joining this evening, and I look forward, I'll be there, I look forward to seeing you at the AIDS Candlelight Memorial. As you said, Monday the 20th of May at 5 p.m. For details, people can visit the Living Positive Victoria website, simply one word, livingpositivevictoria.org.au.
I want to see everybody there, please, and thank you both of you for having me on board.
Thanks, Rachel. I will see you then.
We'll see you there.
See you
Cheers,
there.
My dear.
Good
bye-bye.
Night. Good night, Jason. Good night, Tech.
Thank
night.
You, darling. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This, of course, it heralds the end of the show, Jason. That was a fantastic Rachel. We're going to do so love Rachel.
It's going to be a fantastic event, I think. If you want more details, you can check out Living Positive Victoria's website.
Indeed.
And that's livingpositivevictoria.org.au.
Some years ago, Rachel wrote a book. It was called What Do You Mean You're Allergic to Rubber? You might still be able to get it in bookshops if you're lucky, or maybe secondhand bookshops, or a library. Have a read. It's a really interesting book, and it covers a whole lot of history about here in Victoria and about HIV and about stuff other than HIV as well. Now, it's that time when we need to say goodbye. We are hurtling towards the end of the show, Jason.
We are indeed.
Coming up next, of course, is Hide and Seek with Andrew and Dean.
Who are you saying hello to tonight?
I'm saying hello to Warren in Cairns, to Wayne in Nimbin, and to Deb in Reservoir. Plus, of course, thanks to our guests tonight, Heather Muir and Rachel Berger. Seeing us out after the next song, it's a song especially for you, Jason. It's by Patsy Cline and it's Falling Around. We'll be back next week with another great show. We hope you have a good week. Keep your dial tuned to Joy 94.9. Cheers, everyone. Good night.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.